Have you ever wondered why you feel exhausted after being around certain people, like they drain something invisible from you? Why do some moments of silence bring peace while others feel like guilt? Most of the time, it's not life that's heavy. It's the lack of boundaries that makes everything feel unbearable. The truth is, peace isn't something you find. It's something you protect. The Stoics understood this better than anyone. They believed that calm is a form of strength, and that without limits, you become a prisoner of everyone else's chaos. Setting boundaries isn't cruelty, it's clarity. It's knowing where you end and where the world begins. In this episode, we'll explore 12 Stoic lessons that will help you reclaim your space, protect your energy, and live with quiet authority. Each one is a tool to help you draw the line between what deserves your attention and what doesn't. Because the moment you set boundaries, life stops feeling like survival and starts feeling like peace. Lesson 1. Learn to recognize the energies that drain you. Protecting your energy is not optional. It's survival. Every day, unseen forces compete for your attention, your focus, and your calm. Some people feed your mind with strength and direction, while others quietly drain you, leaving you restless and uncertain without even realizing why. The Stoics understood this truth long before modern psychology gave it a name. Your peace is shaped by what and who you allow around you. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts." But your thoughts don't exist in isolation. They absorb the colors of your environment. When you surround yourself with people who complain, gossip, or dwell in negativity, you begin to carry that same vibration without noticing. You start thinking smaller, doubting yourself more, and reacting faster. That is how energy contagion works. It spreads silently. Stoicism teaches that awareness is your first line of defense. To recognize draining energy, stop listening only to words. Start paying attention to how you feel after each interaction. The body speaks before the mind does. After a conversation, do you feel lighter or heavier? Motivated or mentally tired? Calm or quietly agitated? The answers reveal the truth. Seneca warned, "Associate with those who make you better." Every person you spend time with either builds your inner strength or chips away at it. But not all energy drainers are obvious. Some appear kind, but constantly demand attention, validation, or emotional rescue. Some hide behind sarcasm or honest advice that only serves to weaken your confidence. Others simply live in chaos and expect you to absorb it. The Stoic mind recognizes these patterns without resentment. It simply chooses distance over drama. You don't need to hate someone to stop letting them disrupt your peace. And sometimes, the energy that drains you isn't from others, it's from within. Overthinking, perfectionism, and the constant need to please are forms of self-sabotage that exhaust the mind. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily not to waste energy worrying about what he couldn't control. When you let the opinions or moods of others dictate your own state, you give away your sovereignty. The Stoics called this losing inner command. Reclaim it by focusing only on what belongs to you, your actions, your thoughts, your response. The practice is simple but powerful. When faced with negativity, do not engage, observe. When surrounded by chaos, stay grounded. When tempted to argue or explain yourself to someone committed to misunderstanding you, stay silent. Each act of restraint is an act of protection. The more selective you become with your energy, the calmer and stronger your mind becomes. Peace isn't built by avoiding people. It's built by choosing them wisely. You don't owe constant access to anyone who consistently drains your spirit. Detach with grace, not anger. Withdraw quietly, not dramatically. That's stoic discipline in action. In the end, your energy is your most valuable resource. It fuels your clarity, your discipline, and your sense of purpose. Once you recognize the difference between those who lift you and those who drain you, you'll never waste it again. Guard it the way the Stoics guarded their reason, with vigilance and reverence. Because your peace, once protected, becomes your greatest form of strength. Lesson 2. Know the difference between constructive criticism and disguised poison. Not every opinion deserves a place in your mind. One of the greatest weaknesses you can have is to accept every voice as truth simply because it's loud or familiar. The Stoics warned that many words carry poison hidden behind politeness. Some people criticize not to help you grow, but to make you doubt yourself. Learning to filter the difference between guidance and manipulation is one of the highest forms of self-mastery. Seneca wrote, "He who is brave is free," and part of that freedom comes from the courage to think for yourself, to separate honest feedback from disguised control. Constructive criticism comes from those who wish to see you rise. Disguised poison comes from those who are threatened by your growth. One corrects you in private with respect, the other exposes you in public for ego. A stoic mind learns to tell them apart immediately. You can recognize constructive criticism by its intent. It builds, not breaks. It focuses on your actions, not your worth. It points to what can be improved without attacking who you are. Poison, on the other hand, disguises itself as advice, but carries judgment and superiority. It often starts with, "I'm just being honest," but ends with you feeling smaller. Epictetus would remind you that people project their own insecurities when they criticize others without compassion. What they say reveals more about their inner state than about your path. The Stoics trained their perception to remain clear under attack. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Choose not to be harmed, and you won't feel harmed." This doesn't mean ignoring feedback. It means filtering it through reason instead of emotion. When someone criticizes you, pause before reacting. Ask, "Is there truth here that can help me improve?" If yes, thank them silently and grow. If not, let the words fall away without carrying them. The Stoic doesn't waste energy fighting every opinion. He simply doesn't ingest what doesn't nourish his peace. Criticism becomes dangerous only when you start believing it without examination. The weak mind absorbs, the strong mind analyzes. Stoicism teaches that self-awareness is your armor. When you know your values, your strengths, and your purpose, empty criticism bounces off. But when you lack that foundation, every careless comment becomes a dagger. That's why the Stoic invests in knowing themselves deeply, so that no one else gets to define them. In a world where everyone has an opinion, discernment becomes power. The Stoics were not against advice. They valued wisdom from the wise, but they guarded against flattery and deceit. Seneca warned that both false praise and false criticism can corrupt your mind if you let either guide you too much. True balance means accepting truth, ignoring malice, and staying centered. Practically, this lesson means listening without attachment. When someone offers feedback, neither defend nor attack, just observe. Ask yourself, does this person want to help or to hurt? Do their words come from love or from ego? If their tone carries bitterness, envy, or arrogance, you owe them nothing. Silence will disarm them faster than argument ever could. Protecting your peace doesn't mean avoiding correction. It means recognizing the intention behind it. Constructive voices refine you. Destructive ones drain you. Filter them wisely. You don't need to explain, prove, or defend yourself to everyone. Let time and results speak louder than opinions. In the end, a Stoic doesn't reject criticism. They refine it. They learn from what is useful and discard what is not. Because the moment you stop letting poison enter your mind disguised as advice, you reclaim control over your growth, your focus, and your inner calm. And that is the true strength the Stoics lived by. Calm discernment in a world that confuses noise for truth. Lesson 3. Set boundaries without guilt. One of the hardest lessons in life is realizing that saying no is not cruelty, it's clarity. Most people spend years exhausted, resentful, and emotionally drained because they mistake boundaries for selfishness. The Stoics would call this a confusion of duty. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If it is not right, do not do it. If it is not true, do not say it." Boundaries are simply the practice of that truth. They are moral lines that protect your peace, your time, and your energy. The reason many feel guilty for setting boundaries is that they were taught to equate kindness with constant availability. They believe that to love is to always say yes, even at the cost of their sanity. But Stoic wisdom turns that illusion upside down. Real kindness is not self-destruction, it's honesty. You can't give what you no longer have. A burned-out mind can't show compassion. A drained spirit can't offer clarity. To the Stoics, the highest service to others begins with mastery of yourself. Saying no, therefore, is not rejection, it's respect. It's recognizing that your time and energy are finite, and that spending them carelessly helps no one. Seneca warned that life is short, not because time is limited, but because most people waste it on what doesn't matter. Every yes you give to something meaningless is a no to something essential. When you say no to unnecessary obligations, fake friendships, and manipulative demands, you make space for depth, purpose, and peace. The Stoics practiced what we now call emotional discipline. They didn't let guilt manipulate their decisions. Epictetus said, "No man is free who is not master of himself." This mastery includes the ability to disappoint others when necessary. You can care deeply about people and still refuse to participate in behaviors that violate your peace. A Stoic sets boundaries calmly, not angrily. They do not justify or argue. They simply act according to principle. But here's the paradox. The more you practice firm boundaries, the more respect you earn. People might resist at first, but eventually they learn that your no means something, that you live with integrity. And those who truly value you won't punish you for protecting your peace. They'll admire you for it. The ones who get angry are often those who benefited when you had none. Setting boundaries without guilt requires two things: clarity and consistency. Clarity in knowing what matters most to you, and consistency in enforcing it, even when uncomfortable. The Stoics believed that discomfort is a sign of growth. When you set a boundary, guilt will try to pull you back into old habits, but discipline must hold the line. Remember, guilt is a sign that you're breaking a pattern that never served you. In daily life, this means you respond, not react. You decline invitations that drain your energy. You stop explaining your choices to those committed to misunderstanding them. You step back from arguments that only recycle pain. You choose calm detachment over chaotic approval. Each act of self-respect strengthens your inner authority. The Stoics never sought to please the world. They sought to live in accordance with reason and virtue. And in doing so, they found freedom. That's what boundaries give you. The ability to stand firm in your truth without the constant need for validation. So, release the guilt. Setting limits doesn't mean closing your heart. It means protecting the space where your heart can truly thrive. Because peace isn't found by saying yes to everyone. It's found by saying yes only to what aligns with your soul. Lesson 4. Be aware of the environments that shape your behavior. Your surroundings are not neutral. They are constantly molding you, shaping your thoughts, emotions, and actions in ways you rarely notice. The Stoics understood this deeply. They believed that no one rises above their environment without conscious effort. Marcus Aurelius warned himself daily, "The things you think about determine the quality of your mind," but he also knew that the people, places, and habits around him influence those thoughts. That's why awareness of your environment is not just practical, it's a moral duty to your own growth. Every environment carries an invisible energy. Some elevate your discipline, while others quietly destroy it. A noisy, chaotic space breeds distraction and emotional instability. A calm, organized space encourages focus and peace. The same rule applies to people. When you surround yourself with those who complain, gossip, or live without direction, your own sense of purpose weakens. Their habits slowly become your habits, their excuses, your excuses. Seneca said it clearly. Associate with those who make you better and welcome those whom you can make better. This is not arrogance, it's wisdom. You cannot control the world, but you can choose which part of it you let into your daily life. The Stoics practiced environmental awareness as a form of self-preservation. They understood that the mind absorbs its surroundings like a sponge. Epictetus advised his students to stay away from idle chatter and from those who constantly speak of others instead of ideas. Why? Because the mind reflects what it consumes. Just as your body becomes what you eat, your character becomes what you expose it to. If you fill your space with noise, you create confusion. If you fill it with silence and reflection, you cultivate wisdom. But it's not only physical environments that shape you, it's also digital ones. The Stoic path in modern times means protecting your mind from endless scrolling, drama, and comparison. Every click, every post, every distraction you entertain trains your mind either toward calm or chaos. If Marcus Aurelius had access to the internet, he would have said, "Guard your attention as you guard your honor," because what you look at daily becomes your mental diet, and your thoughts follow that nourishment. To apply this lesson, start by observing, not judging. Notice where your energy goes when you walk into certain rooms, open certain apps, or talk to certain people. Do you feel centered or drained, inspired or numb? Awareness itself is transformation. Once you see what your environment is doing to you, you can begin to redesign it with intention. Build spaces that align with your highest values. Keep your room simple, clean and quiet. Dedicate time to silence, to reading and to reflection. Spend time with people who challenge your mind and expand your vision. The Stoics didn't avoid the world, they engaged with it wisely. They knew that discipline grows faster in a garden than in a storm. It's not weakness to protect your environment, it's wisdom. Even the strongest flame can be extinguished if surrounded by wind, so be selective with what you allow around your peace. Your environment can either feed your purpose or starve it. Choose carefully. In the end, this lesson is simple but powerful. You become what surrounds you. The quality of your life mirrors the quality of your environment. If you want clarity, build a space that invites it. If you want calm, avoid those who thrive on chaos. Because the Stoics knew that self-mastery doesn't happen in isolation. It begins in the spaces you create and in the company you keep. Lesson 5. Choose your battles wisely. The Stoics mastered an art that few ever learn, the art of restraint. They understood that not every situation deserves your reaction, and not every confrontation deserves your energy. Most people exhaust themselves trying to prove points, correct others, and defend their pride. But the Stoics knew that silence, when chosen with wisdom, is not weakness, it's power. Seneca wrote, "He who is everywhere is nowhere." The same applies to your attention. When you waste it on every provocation, you scatter your peace. The wise mind conserves its strength for what truly matters. Every battle has a cost. Every argument you engage in demands emotional energy, focus, and time. Resources you could have used to build something meaningful. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily not to be disturbed by trivialities. He wrote, "You always own the option of having no opinion. There is never any need to get worked up or to trouble your soul." That simple truth is one of Stoicism's greatest secrets. You don't have to respond to everything. The world will constantly provoke you, but you are never obligated to dance with chaos. Choosing your battles wisely means understanding the difference between reaction and response. Reaction is impulsive. It's when your ego takes the wheel. Response is intentional. It's when reason leads. The Stoics believed that anger, pride, and the need to be right are signs of inner weakness. Epictetus said, "Any person capable of angering you becomes your master. Every time you lose your temper, you hand control of your mind to someone else." True power lies in self-control, the calm refusal to let others dictate your emotional state. Not all silence is surrender. Sometimes it's strategy. Walking away from a pointless argument is not defeat. It's mastery of self. You don't owe explanations to those who are committed to misunderstanding you. You don't need to defend your worth to those who only want to provoke. The Stoic understands that dignity is louder than debate. Let your actions speak, and let the foolish exhaust themselves with words. In daily life, this means practicing selective focus. Ask yourself before engaging, will this matter a year from now? Is this battle aligned with my principles or just my ego? If the answer serves only your pride, let it go. The Stoics sought to act from virtue, not emotion. They valued peace of mind over the thrill of victory. Winning an argument that destroys your calm is not a win. It's a loss disguised as pride. But there are battles worth fighting, the ones rooted in integrity, justice, and principle. The Stoic doesn't avoid confrontation when truth is at stake. They simply choose the time, tone, and method carefully. A calm truth spoken once is more powerful than a loud argument repeated 1,000 times. Choosing your battles wisely also applies to internal conflicts. Many of your wars are not with others, but with yourself, overthinking, regret, fear, or perfectionism. The Stoic faces these inner battles with patience and reason. They don't try to erase emotion, they seek to understand it. They choose not to fight their feelings, but to work through them with awareness. In the end, every reaction is a choice. You can either feed chaos or cultivate calm. You can either fight every storm or learn to stand still until it passes. Stoicism teaches that control is not about domination, it's about direction. When you choose your battles wisely, you direct your energy toward peace, growth, and purpose. So, let the world argue while you build. Let others chase noise while you choose stillness. Because the strongest person in the room is not the one who shouts the loudest. It's the one who decides what deserves their silence. Lesson 6. Observe without absorbing. The world is loud, unpredictable, and full of emotional traps. Every day you are surrounded by noise, complaints, anger, gossip, and the chaos of other people's moods. The Stoics understood that peace doesn't come from isolating yourself from the world, but from learning to move through it untouched. The key is not to run away from life, but to witness it with awareness while keeping your inner world calm. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Be like the rock against which the waves break, but it stands firm and tames the fury of the waters around it." That is the art of observing without absorbing. To observe without absorbing means you see what's happening around you clearly, but you don't let it live inside you. You listen without carrying the noise. You feel compassion without drowning in the emotions of others. You recognize chaos, yet remain still. This ability to stay centered amid disturbance is one of the highest Stoic virtues. It's what makes a person strong, steady, and difficult to manipulate. Most people react automatically. They absorb the emotions of others as if they were contagious. If someone is angry, they become angry. If someone is anxious, they mirror that tension. But this is emotional slavery, allowing the moods of others to dictate your state. The Stoics trained themselves to respond with reason instead of reflex. Epictetus said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." You can see someone's anger, yet not take it personally. You can hear criticism, yet not let it define you. You can face uncertainty, yet not lose your calm. Practically, this begins with awareness. When you enter a stressful environment, don't fight it. Observe it. Notice the emotions around you like clouds passing through the sky. Say to yourself, "This is not mine." That small phrase creates distance between your peace and the world's chaos. It reminds you that you are not obligated to absorb everything you encounter. Observation also means mastering the space between stimulus and response, the Stoic pause. When something provokes you, take a breath before reacting. In that silence, you reclaim control. Your first impulse is often emotional. Your second thought is usually wise. Let the second one lead. This pause is where Stoic calm is born. It's the moment you choose reason over reaction. Seneca often warned that those who absorb the chaos of others become slaves to it. He advised his students to cultivate mental filters, to allow only what serves virtue to enter the mind. That doesn't mean you become cold or detached. It means you protect your clarity. You can care deeply and still stay centered. Compassion and composure can coexist. The modern world tests this skill constantly. Social media outrage, workplace stress, family drama. Everywhere you look, emotions are being thrown like weapons. But the Stoic remains untouchable, not because they're numb, but because they refuse to surrender their mind. You can't control what others do, but you can decide what enters your inner space. To practice this lesson daily, imagine your mind as a clear lake. Every interaction, every problem is like a stone dropped into it. The smaller your reaction, the faster the surface returns to stillness. Don't let the world's noise stir the depths of your calm. Observe it, learn from it, but don't live inside it. The Stoic understands that peace is not the absence of noise, it's the mastery of attention. When you learn to watch without absorbing, you stop being dragged by every emotional tide. You start living with presence, power, and perspective. And the moment you realize that other people's chaos only enters your mind if you open the door, you close it for good. Lesson 7. Strengthen your identity so you don't get pulled away. If you don't know who you are, The world will decide for you. Every day, opinions, trends, and expectations try to shape your behavior and define your worth. People will project their fears onto you, tell you what success should look like, and punish you the moment you refuse to fit their image. The Stoics understood this danger well. Marcus Aurelius warned himself, "Be tolerant with others and strict with yourself." That line holds a timeless truth. Clarity of identity protects you from being swallowed by the crowd. The modern world rewards imitation. It teaches you to chase validation, to look outside yourself for approval, and to compare constantly. But Stoicism teaches the opposite, that the root of peace lies in self-definition. If you don't anchor yourself to something stable, your values, your principles, your sense of purpose, you'll drift endlessly in the opinions of others. You'll live reacting, not choosing. A Stoic identity is built, not borrowed. It's forged through reflection, discipline, and action. Epictetus said, "Know first who you are, and then adorn yourself accordingly." He meant that before chasing goals or relationships, you must understand your essence. Are your decisions guided by virtue or impulse? Do you act from reason or reaction? Every choice either strengthens or weakens the structure of who you are. When you live without that awareness, you become a puppet of circumstance, tugged in every direction by praise, criticism, or fear. Your identity must come from within, not from applause. External validation is fragile. It disappears the moment you stop performing. But self-respect, built through consistency and integrity, cannot be taken. The Stoics trained themselves to find stability in their inner judgment, not the judgment of others. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "It is not what others say or think that makes us who we are, but what we become through our own choices." To strengthen your identity, you must first define your core principles. Ask yourself, "What do I stand for when no one's watching? What behaviors align with my values? What temptations consistently pull me away from my higher self?" Write these down, reflect on them, and live by them daily. Stoicism is not theory, it's practice. Every small decision is a declaration of who you are. Next, protect your identity by limiting your exposure to influences that blur it. Constant comparison through social media, gossip, and the need to prove yourself corrodes authenticity. The Stoic doesn't measure their life by others' standards. They measure it by alignment with reason and virtue. Seneca said, "No man can be happy who is not at peace with himself." When you know who you are, peace becomes natural. But identity also requires resilience. You will face pressure to conform, to stay silent, or to play small. Strengthen your identity not by fighting everyone, but by standing firmly in your truth. When you know your values, disagreement doesn't threaten you. It clarifies your path. People may mock your calm or mistake your silence for weakness, but the Stoic understands that composure is the highest form of confidence. To practice this, start each day reminding yourself who you are and who you refuse to become. Set mental boundaries against anything that pulls you away from that truth. When faced with temptation or criticism, pause and ask, "Is this consistent with my nature, or am I being pulled off course?" That awareness is your compass. It brings you back every time you drift. The more you strengthen your identity, the less reactive you become. You stop needing to prove, explain, or chase belonging. You move through the world as a complete person, not a mirror reflecting others. That is what the Stoics meant by true freedom, the ability to stay rooted in your essence while the world sways around you. Because when you know who you are, no one can use confusion to control you. you stop being pulled by noise and start moving with direction. And that, in the Stoic sense, is the beginning of unshakable peace. Lesson 8. Detachment is also self-care. There is a moment in every Stoic's journey when they realize that holding on too tightly, whether to people, things, or expectations, is the source of nearly all suffering. Detachment is often misunderstood as coldness or lack of emotion, but to the Stoics, it was the ultimate act of love toward oneself. It meant choosing peace over possession, clarity over chaos, and inner strength over external dependence. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Receive without pride, let go without attachment." That simple sentence captures the essence of emotional freedom. Detachment doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you stop collapsing when things don't go your way. It's realizing that love without boundaries becomes self-destruction, that help without limits becomes enabling, and that loyalty without discernment becomes slavery. Seneca warned that attachment turns blessings into burdens. When you cling to what's temporary, you suffer twice, once in holding on and again in losing it. The Stoic, therefore, practices graceful release, appreciating fully, but never needing to possess. This lesson is especially vital in relationships. People often stay in toxic or draining connections out of fear, fear of loneliness, judgment, or uncertainty. But detachment reminds you that staying somewhere your dignity is constantly compromised is not love. It's self-betrayal. You can love someone deeply and still walk away when peace is at stake. The Stoic doesn't abandon compassion, they abandon chaos. They understand that peace is not found in control, but in letting go of what's beyond it. Epictetus taught that freedom begins with acceptance. He said, "When you desire things which are not in your control, you must necessarily be disappointed. The more you grip, the more you suffer. True peace begins the moment you release the illusion that you can own, fix, or keep everything." Detachment is not apathy. It's clarity about where your power ends. It's realizing that you can't control others' choices, but you can control your response. To practice Stoic detachment, begin with awareness. When you feel anxiety or tension, ask yourself, "What am I afraid of losing?" Usually, it's not the thing itself, but what it represents: security, validation, or identity. By identifying the attachment, you expose its hold on you. Once seen clearly, it loses its control. Replace the need to hold with the willingness to flow. As the Stoics did, remind yourself daily, "Everything I love is temporary, and that's what makes it precious." Appreciation without possession is the purest form of love. Detachment also means creating emotional breathing space. It's stepping back before reacting, giving yourself time to see things as they are, not as your fears paint them. When anger rises, pause. When rejection stings, breathe. When uncertainty shakes you, remind yourself, "This too is outside my control." That space between impulse and action is where Stoic power lives. It's not the distance of indifference, it's the distance of mastery. In the modern world, detachment is the antidote to overstimulation. Every message, headline, and opinion tries to pull you into emotional extremes. The Stoic mind observes, but does not absorb. It participates, but does not cling. This ability to engage fully while remaining free is the essence of balance. So when you practice detachment, you're not withdrawing from life. You're returning to yourself. You're choosing to live in alignment with what you can control and releasing what you can't. You're no longer begging for peace. You're creating it. In the end, detachment is the highest form of self-care because it protects the most sacred part of you, your inner calm. You stop chasing closure from others and start finding it within. You stop demanding permanence in an impermanent world. You realize that the tighter you hold, the faster things slip away. But when you let go, everything you truly need stays effortlessly. That's why the Stoics practice detachment not as rejection of life, but as a deeper embrace of it. Because when you no longer cling, you finally begin to breathe. Lesson 9. Be firm without becoming cold. Real strength doesn't need hardness, it needs balance. The Stoics understood that firmness without compassion becomes cruelty, and kindness without boundaries becomes weakness. The goal is not to be unfeeling, but unshaken. Stoicism teaches that emotional control doesn't mean the absence of feeling. It means feeling deeply without losing direction. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Be tolerant with others and strict with yourself." In that line lies the secret. Firmness toward your principles, gentleness toward people. When you begin to set boundaries or live with conviction, others may call you distant or cold. That's because your calm exposes their chaos. The Stoic doesn't harden to punish others. They simply refuse to be ruled by emotion or manipulation. To be firm without becoming cold means to master the art of saying no with respect, of correcting with grace, and of protecting your peace without closing your heart. Seneca said, "Anger, if not restrained, is more destructive than any other passion." Firmness requires restraint. Many mistake anger for strength. It isn't. Anger burns fast and leaves weakness in its place. True firmness is steady, deliberate, and controlled. It's not loud, it's not dramatic, it's clear and final. A Stoic doesn't shout to be understood. They speak once, calmly, and mean it. Their power lies in consistency. To practice this balance, first define your non-negotiables. What values guide your decisions? What behaviors cross your limits? Once you know these, you don't need to react emotionally when someone tests them. You simply enforce them quietly. You can forgive someone and still choose not to let them repeat the same behavior. You can love someone and still refuse to shrink for them. This is how you stay firm without losing empathy. The Stoics saw compassion and discipline as two sides of the same coin. Epictetus taught that we should never let others' actions decide our reactions. He said, "When someone is properly grounded in life, they shouldn't have to look outside themselves for approval." The Stoic sees the flaws of others and chooses understanding instead of rage. But that understanding doesn't mean tolerance of disrespect. You can understand why someone behaves badly and still choose not to participate in their chaos. Being firm without becoming cold also means learning to separate emotion from decision. Feel your feelings, but don't let them lead. When someone crosses a boundary, don't react impulsively, act with clarity. Say what needs to be said once, and then move on. Silence often carries more authority than explanation. The Stoic uses words with precision, not as weapons. In relationships, this balance is what creates respect. People may not always like your firmness, but they will trust it. When others know you are fair but unwavering, they learn that your peace is not up for negotiation. You become dependable not because you are rigid, but because you are clear. And that clarity is the foundation of all strong connections, personal or professional. Yet remember, firmness is not a wall, it's a gate. You control what enters and exits, but you never lose warmth inside. The Stoics believed in the virtue of temperance, moderation in all things. Even firmness must be guided by compassion, or it becomes pride. Even kindness must be protected by limits, or it becomes self-betrayal. So how do you live this balance daily? Respond with reason, not reaction. Listen with empathy, but act with principles. Stay calm when challenged, and silent when provoked. Let your peace be your loudest response. Because when you've mastered the art of firmness, you no longer need to defend it. It speaks through your presence. In the end, being firm without becoming cold means walking the middle path between indifference and overreaction. It's standing your ground without hardening your heart. It's living with grace, but also with strength. That's what makes Stoic calm so powerful. It's not lifelessness, it's controlled life. The world doesn't need more anger or more apathy. It needs people who are grounded, clear, and kind. Be that person. Stand firm, but stay human. Lesson 10. Acknowledge the power of your silence. There is a kind of strength that doesn't shout, doesn't argue, and doesn't explain. It simply stands firm in silence. The Stoics understood this as one of the highest forms of wisdom. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Silence is a lesson learned from the many sufferings of life." To them, silence was not emptiness, it was authority, self-control, and proof of mastery. When you stop needing to respond to everything, you become untouchable. Silence holds power because it shifts the dynamic. In conflict, the one who stays calm controls the pace. In chaos, the one who observes sees the truth. Words, when used carelessly, scatter energy. Silence gathers it. Seneca warned that speaking too much often exposes weakness. He said, "Speech is the mirror of the soul. If you speak carelessly, it shows your mind is unsteady." A Stoic uses silence not to hide, but to think, to protect peace, and to let truth reveal itself without noise. We live in a world that glorifies constant expression, where people feel the need to respond instantly, defend endlessly, and comment on everything. But the Stoic knows that silence is not passivity, it's choice. Every word should serve purpose, not impulse. Most arguments lose their power when met with calm stillness. Insults dissolve when unanswered. Chaos starves when ignored. To practice the power of silence, start by understanding its purpose. Silence creates distance between stimulus and reaction, the sacred space where reason lives. When anger rises, silence gives it no fuel. When gossip calls, silence denies it oxygen. When someone provokes you, silence makes them face themselves. You don't win by shouting, you win by refusing to descend into noise. Epictetus taught his students to speak only when words were necessary and virtuous. He said, "Be silent for the most part, or if you speak, say only what is necessary and in few words." Silence, to him, was a weapon of self-governance. It protected the mind from the chaos of the world and preserved focus for what truly mattered. This isn't withdrawal, it's strategy. There's also an emotional side to this power. Silence protects your dignity in moments of pain. When you've been misunderstood, betrayed, or criticized unfairly, silence keeps your peace from being dragged into the mud of reaction. It tells the world, "I don't owe you my explanation, and I don't need your approval." That's not arrogance, it's self-respect. The Stoics didn't seek validation from others because they knew truth doesn't require applause to remain true. But silence is not always about withholding words. Sometimes it's about creating space for reflection. In quiet moments, your thoughts settle, your emotions soften, and clarity returns. The Stoics practiced morning and evening reflection in silence because they knew that wisdom speaks only when the noise within has been quieted. This inner silence is where insight grows. In a noisy world, silence becomes your rebellion. It's how you separate your mind from the collective confusion. You don't need to comment on every situation, prove your worth, or correct every misunderstanding. Let your actions speak. Let time reveal what your words could never explain. Seneca wrote, "It is a great thing to know when to speak and when to be silent. Those who master that balance command respect effortlessly." To live this lesson, make silence a habit, not an escape. Take a pause before responding to criticism. Wait a moment before giving advice. Reflect before reacting. And when words don't improve peace, choose silence. The world might interpret it as mystery, but it's actually control. In the end, silence is not weakness, it's refinement. It's the difference between noise and wisdom, between reaction and response. When you learn to wield it, you no longer need to chase respect. It comes naturally. Because a calm, silent presence speaks louder than any argument ever could. Lesson 11. Distance can also teach. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is walk away, not to punish, not to prove, but to protect your peace. Distance, when chosen with awareness, is not rejection, it's revelation. The Stoics understood that stepping back allows clarity to rise. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If you are troubled by anything external, it is not the thing itself that disturbs you, but your judgment about it." Distance creates the space needed to see things as they are, not as emotion distorts them. We often cling to situations that exhaust us, relationships that drain us, and habits that sabotage us because we believe closeness equals control. But closeness often clouds perception. The Stoic learns that when emotion burns too hot, you must step back to see the truth. Distance doesn't destroy connection, it filters it. What is real remains, what is shallow fades. Seneca said, "The nearer a thing is to our heart, the more careful we must be to guard it." That is why distance is a form of wisdom. It's giving yourself the time to understand what deserves your effort and what only consumes it. You cannot heal in the same space that hurt you, and you cannot think clearly in the same noise that confused you. When you step away, you give perspective room to breathe. This lesson is not about isolation, it's about observation. Distance teaches through contrast. When you remove yourself from someone or something, you start to notice how much peace or tension it brought into your life. If peace grows in absence, that's truth. If emptiness turns into clarity, that's growth. The Stoics believed that separation often reveals the real nature of things. Epictetus advised, "When anything tempts you to be disturbed, say, 'You are only an appearance and not the thing you appear to be.'" That phrase reminds you to pause before reacting, to see beyond first impressions. Distance also teaches others. When you stop explaining, defending, or chasing, people are left alone with their behavior. Your absence becomes the mirror they once refused to look into. Stoic silence combined with distance is not coldness, it's instruction. It communicates boundaries more effectively than arguments ever could. You don't have to tell people how to treat you. Your withdrawal from disrespect says enough. But perhaps the most valuable lesson distance gives is self-awareness. When you step back from constant distraction, you reconnect with yourself. You remember your own voice, your own rhythm, your own priorities. The Stoics practiced solitude not as loneliness, but as spiritual training. Marcus Aurelius used his private reflections as a sanctuary where he could detach from public pressure and reconnect with his values. You can do the same. Create spaces of solitude to realign with what truly matters. In the modern world, people fear distance because they mistake stillness for loss, but the Stoic sees it as strength. It takes courage to detach, to pause communication, to say, "I need space." It's not avoidance, it's self-respect. When emotions are high, space brings perspective. When connection feels heavy, distance restores balance. So if a situation feels chaotic, step back. If a relationship drains your energy, step away. If your environment confuses your judgment, step out. Not forever, just long enough to see clearly. Distance is not always the end. Sometimes it's the lesson you couldn't learn while standing too close. In time, you'll notice that what belongs to your life will meet you with peace, not pressure. What was never yours will fade quietly, and that is the beauty of distance. It doesn't just separate, it sorts. The Stoics lived by this truth. Space reveals what words cannot. Sometimes the silence of absence teaches more than the noise of presence ever could. Because when you learn to use distance not as escape, but as reflection, you stop fearing solitude. You begin to understand that walking away is not losing, it's returning to yourself. Lesson 12. Prioritize your path, even if not. Everyone understands it. No one else is meant to fully understand your journey, and that's perfectly fine. The Stoics knew that the path of integrity, discipline, and peace often feels lonely because it is walked by those who have stopped seeking approval. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Be content to walk alone if necessary, for those who follow the truth seldom walk with the crowd." To live a Stoic life means accepting that misunderstanding is part of greatness. When your focus shifts from pleasing others to honoring your purpose, your direction becomes clear, even if few can see it. The need to be understood is one of the greatest traps of the human mind. It keeps you tied to opinions, validation, and fear of rejection. But the Stoics believed that your duty is not to be liked. It's to live in accordance with reason and virtue. Epictetus said, "If you wish to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid." His words are harsh but liberating. They remind us that the judgment of others has no bearing on the truth of our actions. If your path is guided by wisdom, it doesn't need to be explained to those who aren't ready to walk it. Prioritizing your path requires courage. You will face moments when others criticize your silence, question your focus, or call you selfish for protecting your peace. But, as Seneca wrote, it is the power of the mind to be unconquerable. The Stoic remains calm under misunderstanding because they know that alignment with purpose is far more valuable than external approval. You cannot build an extraordinary life while living for ordinary acceptance. The world often rewards conformity, fitting in, blending, following the expected script. Stoicism asks you to do the opposite, to think independently, to live deliberately, to act with integrity even when no one is watching. This independence doesn't make you rebellious, it makes you authentic. The Stoic path is not loud or glamorous, it's quiet, consistent, and intentional. It's doing the right thing even when it's inconvenient, and choosing growth over comfort, clarity over popularity. To live this lesson, you must learn to distinguish between loneliness and alignment. Loneliness is when you're disconnected from others. Alignment is when you're finally connected to yourself. There will be times when people don't understand your need for peace, your discipline, or your detachment. But that doesn't mean you're lost. It means you've stopped living for applause and started living with awareness. Marcus Aurelius faced this same struggle as emperor, surrounded by people who didn't share his depth or purpose. Yet, in his private meditations, he wrote reminders to himself to stay humble, to stay focused, and to keep walking his path, regardless of opinion. His peace came not from being understood, but from being consistent. That is the Stoic way, to measure success not by recognition, but by integrity. In practice, This lesson means setting priorities that match your values, not others' expectations. It means declining distractions, saying no to invitations that derail your focus, and refusing to explain every decision you make. People may not understand why you spend your mornings in silence, why you limit drama, or why you protect your solitude. But that doesn't matter. Their understanding is not your obligation. Your peace is your responsibility. The Stoics believed that the best way to inspire others is by example, not explanation. So live your philosophy. Let your actions show your commitment to calm, strength, and purpose. Eventually, those who doubted you will see that your discipline wasn't isolation. It was preparation. At the end of the day, peace comes when your outer actions and inner values finally align. Not everyone will understand your path, and that's exactly how it should be. The Stoic walks quietly, but with direction. They don't need recognition to validate their progress, only the quiet knowing that they are living in truth. Because when you prioritize your path, you stop chasing belonging and start embodying purpose. The world may not always applaud, but your soul will finally rest. True peace doesn't come from having fewer problems. It comes from having stronger boundaries. When you finally stop trying to please everyone, explain yourself, or hold on to what drains you, you begin to taste a freedom that few ever experience. The Stoics understood this centuries ago. Serenity is not a gift from the world. It's a discipline of the mind. Each lesson in this episode is a reminder that calm is not passive. It's earned through courage, clarity, and restraint. When you choose to protect your energy instead of wasting it, to walk away instead of arguing, to observe instead of absorbing, you rise above the chaos that traps most people. Boundaries are not walls, they are gates that guard your peace. They teach others how to treat you and remind you of what truly matters. In the end, setting limits is not about control. It's about harmony. It's about creating a life where your emotions serve you, not enslave you. Where silence becomes wisdom, not weakness. And where you can finally live with dignity, direction, and inner strength. Because once you learn to set boundaries and live in peace, you stop being at the mercy of others and start becoming the master of yourself.